I joined the National Front, which is a white supremacist organization, back in England when I was only 15 years old, back in the 1970s. The National Front called for the compulsory expulsion from the United Kingdom of all non-whites, regardless of whether they were born in the UK or not. And I was involved in that organization from the age of 15 until my mid-20s.
And what about the ideology appealed to you in the first place, do you think?
I was angry as a 15-year-old. There were lots of demographic changes in my neighborhood, lots of racial tensions, and obviously I was inarticulate as regards having a real understanding of the world or political issues, but I allowed my anger to lead me. And then the books I read thereafter, once I got involved in the organization, were all white supremacist racial ideologies, so about the white race being superior to non-white races, etc.
And so, from my understanding, you at a young age helped put together a paper, propaganda. What did you find to be effective when it came to trying to appeal to your audience?
I edited the magazine of the Young National Front, so the youth movement of the National Front, and that magazine was called Bulldog. And I basically based Bulldog on tabloid media. So it was really lowest common denominator, and it was designed to stir up tensions between the communities, to help to bring about the end of the multiracial society, probably by means of a race war. That was the strategy, to try to foment tension between the races so that a race war would ensue.
And you talk about the reason you got involved had to do with hatred. It sounds like you were trying to also maybe play to some people's fears when it came to perhaps economic insecurity. When it comes to that hatred that you had, are you able to, you know, see where the seed of that started?
Well, yes. I mean, I've written a book called Race with the Devil, My Journey from Racial Hatred to Rational Love. And in order to be completely honest, I learned a lot of my racism at my father's knee. And my father was a good man for the most part. I had a very good relationship with him. And a large part of the book, or a significant part of the book, is coming to terms with that relationship. That a large part of growing up is learning to unlearn some of the stuff we learned when we were young. And so that's the process I went through. So I learned that. And then you couple that to the fact that there was an awful lot of racial tension. There were major and very fast demographic changes. It's not as if there's a melting pot that had been simmering for a long period of time. There was a mass immigration over a very short period of time, leading to major demographic changes at grassroots level. And that led to a rise in racial tensions on all sides. And as a teenager, I became embroiled in the resentment and the animosity that arose from that.
And so what was it that ultimately changed your mind? Was it a specific instance that happened, or an evolution over time?
Largely, it was discovering the writings of G.K. Chesterton, and then after him, other writers such as C.S. Lewis, that basically taught me about the connection between Christianity and reason, the use of reason, and how hatred basically is irrational. And so that, along with experiencing love on the part of some of my enemies, which I think was very disarming, people that I considered to be my enemies, instead of treating me with the hatred that I treated them, actually treated me with a sense of reconciliation and love. And that actually, it's much easier to hate one's enemies when one's enemies hate you. So when you're actually confronted by someone who returns your hatred with love, it's a very disarming experience.
And so you've written a number of books. You're a professor. Your focus is on literature. So I guess I'm curious why you've decided to also, you know, be so open and give talks about this facet of your life. Was it a hard decision as far as continuing to own this part of your own personal history?
Yeah, it took me a long while to actually get round to writing the book about my past, because obviously it's painful. And also, I didn't really want to fall into two errors. One would be a position of self-loathing, that I was absolutely awful then and a pariah and there was nothing good about me, because that would not be accurate. There's a continuum between the angry man I was and the person I am now. Self-loathing is not the answer, but nor is self-justification. You know, I was wrong, but I didn't want to do that either. So yeah, I had to wait really until I felt mature enough, if that's the right word, to walk this tightrope and try to be honest with myself so that I could be honest with the readers, with those that were going to buy the book. So it took me a long while.
Kristen Picciolini, who's an Illinois man, started a group called Life After Hate. He, too, was a white supremacist. And so after the election, he talked about the alt-right and the connections that he sees it having with white supremacist ideology. So I'm wondering what your take is on the current political climate and if you see, you know, it harboring perhaps more easily than in other recent times, this sort of ideology.
Yeah, I think this is a good question and a tricky one to actually get to grips with. And again, I think we need to be honest. The most important thing is that when we see racial hatred, regardless of the color of the person that has the racism, because it's not an exclusively white problem, whenever we see racism, we need to call it out. We need to say that that's not part of any rational discourse because it's not based upon reason. We also need to address issues that cause the racism. And so, for instance, you know, that it is not true or fair to talk about everybody who has concerns about immigration is a racist, and I don't think that helps. But apart from other things, that just cheapens the words. And if we use those, you know, use words such as racist or Nazi or fascist too often, they become meaningless. And that's the danger. We need restraint on both sides. We need to come together and actually talk in a spirit of reason and indeed love and reconciliation, and not just point the finger of scorn at each other, because that's how hatred breeds.
And so Springfield will have a chance to hear more on this topic. What are you hoping the audience will walk away thinking about?
Well, I think the most important thing is that young people, and obviously I'll be speaking to undergraduates, that young people are perhaps not fully aware of the dangers of white supremacist politics, and I do think they need to be informed, but I do want to do so in the spirit of reason and the spirit of love, as my book is subtitled, you know, to pass from racial hatred to rational love, and even if we're very, very opposed to racism, to treat racists and all human beings with a rational love and not returning hatred for hatred, because that just makes the situation worse.